Terry?
Yes.
Darling.
David Coverdale, is that you?
Terry Carr, is that thee?
How are you, my friend?
Well, not too shabby, but some beautiful chick just gave me the wrong number. I felt like I was hanging out with Sean Penn back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. 105.5 WDHA, the Rock of New Jersey, with me, Terry Carr. So I pick up the phone. And who is on the other end? But I like to call him the Richard Burton of rock and roll, one of my all-time favorite guys. He smells great. He sings even better. It's our old friend David Coverdale. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Kisses through the microphone.
Oh, I kiss your feet and work my way slowly up.
So first of all, how have you been, first and foremost?
Well, as usual, feathered friends flying out of every orifice, I must say. Whoop, there goes another. But everything's glorious. The sun is out. The sky is blue. We just had a foot and a half of snow dropped on us over the weekend, but that's just gone. It's quite bizarre, the weather. I think you got most of our snow this year.
We had a crazy, crazy winter. I'm so glad that you weren't here. So you have such exciting stuff going on. Whitesnake, the Purple album, coming out on May 19th. This is tremendous.
I know. I could reach it. Give me a tissue. I swear to God, it's so touching.
Well, you sang for Purple during my favorite period of time, the Mark III, Mark IV era studio records. You've described this as the reimagination of the classic Purple songs that you sang. So tell me about that.
Well, it's very hard to put it in a nutshell, Terry, but back in 2000, I'm totally committed to Whitesnake. Simple fact. It's my baby, and I love my players, and I love the songs that we perform. But back in 2012, I received a call from the representative of a very dear friend and an amazing musician, John Lord. And his rep told me that John had been diagnosed with cancer, which, of course, was like a punch in the stomach. Mm. And he said John was determined to fight it and recover, and would I be there for him for some Deep Purple-related project? I said, you tell him I'm with him all the way.
Wow.
You know? And sadly, of course, John was lost to us. But, that opened my heart to reach out to none other than the extraordinary Richie Blackmore. I think one of your neighbors up there, isn't he?
Yeah, right, Jersey. That's right, you're correct.
Because I'd had the pleasure of being able to thank John, of course, who worked with me in Whitesnake, as did Ian Pace, the drummer. I'd been able to thank those guys, and Glenn Hughes and I have an almost daily affair. they gave such an incredible opportunity, golden, platinum, whatever, to this young, untried, untested, unrecorded singer when they gave me the job as lead singer in 1973. So I really, truly came out of this scenario going, wow, life's too short, too precious, and I'm too damn old to hang on to any bitterness or anger or resentment. So, I actually got a message through to Richie, and we communicated and complimented each other and accepted each other's olive branches, which was glorious for me because it made, the whole project felt like I'd come full circle, reaching a feeling of completion, because that's how my journey started, Terry, back in 1973 with Deep Purple, So this, there was a conversation over time at the end of 2012 going into 2013 about the possibility or the potential of Richie and I doing something together, either Purple-related or Blackmore Coverdale, as I did with Pagey, which would have been pretty stimulating for me to have done Purple, Whitesnake, and Rainbow. So that could have been interesting. But, so I dug out the old records and started listening and go, my God, I was a kid. I got the job when I was 21.
And when you see some of that footage, too, from back in the day, do you look at some of that footage and do you go, who was that guy?
Yeah. Cats were licking my beard off. It was amazing. I had to smother myself in some kind of questionable film. But really, it was, I thought, I hope he's up for, messing around with him, contemporizing a bit. I mean, the tune stood up great. As my guy said when we were recording in the studio, these songs could have been written yesterday. They had a total boner for the project.
Yeah, well, I love your band. I mean, you've got Joel Hoekstra with you now on guitar.
God,
he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. He's come in. He's we joke now about Joel's incendiary. Burn, Joel, burn!
And Red Beach.
Him and Brad worked together just beautifully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Tommy Aldridge. If you're just tuning in, by the way, I'm chatting with the one and only, the legendary, the iconic David Coverdale. So you guys are going to be doing a Trump Taj Mahal date in Atlantic City on July 25th. Is this going to be like a final farewell tour for the royalty?
I don't know. As I say, when I was mixing the record with my co-producers Michael McIntyre and Red Beach, I said, you know, this is feeling like I've, as I said, come full circle. And so I really don't know. But the interest has been so significant, it's very likely we'll be taking this tour into 2016 as well. Mm. Obviously giving the old boys some breaks here and there. But I think we're going to be doing some more spring and summer work next year because, as I say, we haven't been able to get everywhere that's invited us. There's a huge, you know, number one, Whitesnake has a great following, which is glorious, and we all truly appreciate that. But the purple aspect has opened, you know, a very, very positive Pandora's box of possibilities, you know. And purple is such a beloved band. And I think a few of these songs may be unknown to some Whitesnake fans, so it will have hopefully a freshness that come about our redecorating and furniture moving.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and these
it's
songs
still
are
a house of purple, you know.
These
it's
songs
still a house
are
of purple, but you know.
And so and not easy songs to sing. So yeah, I would